Wonder if you might pray with me and for me. God, as I thought this morning about the rain, my first thought was what an inconvenience it would be. And then, God, I started thinking about people all over the world who have much more than inconveniences in their life right now. Those who are hungry, those who are thirsty. God, those without a home, those who are incarcerated, those who are in the midst of war, and those who are longing for loved ones who are in the midst of war to come home. God, there are people who are put on the outside, people who feel unloved, people who struggle with so many different areas of mental health, people who are looking and hoping for a different diagnosis than they currently have. God, in all of these things, may my little inconveniences not get in the way of sharing the goodness of who you are. God, may we be people who not only pray for people, but put legs on those prayers and take actions for the sake of transformation. So God, as I speak today, I pray that somehow you might speak through me. God, that you would give us ears to hear what you want us to hear this morning, that our minds might be open to understanding, that our hearts might even be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do, and please let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is week two of this series on faith and science and looking at the intersections. And last week, if you weren't here, or if you were, I'll remind you, we tried to take a deep dive into creation. How do we love the creation that God has given us? How do we engage it? How do we connect with it? How do we experience it? And this week, I'm going to take us a step further, and we're going to look at the intersection between faith and reason. Reason is using your mind. Reason is using that which God has given you to understand and articulate and investigate things. When I went to seminary, the very first class, seminary, by the way, is the school you go to become a pastor. And when I went to seminary, the very first class I took, I had not taken an undergraduate philosophy class. So the first class that I took was called Philosophy for Understanding Theology. This was a class that was based on looking at some of the original philosophers and understanding how they impacted our understanding of God. How did those intersections happen? But ironically, the first book that we had to read came from somebody from the 1900s. It was from Pope John Paul II. He wrote this book called Fides et Ratio, or Faith and Reason. Now, you have to understand, this book that he wrote to the Catholic Church at the time, it was actually called an encyclical letter, which is just a fancy way for saying a letter we're going to share amongst you. But this letter was to help people understand that we must start looking at the intersections of faith and reason, or faith and science. What he said, his premise was that if we didn't do that, we were missing major puzzle pieces to understanding God. If we simply went by faith and we didn't use the reason and the science and the mind and the things that are out there, then we would miss pieces of God. And if we just used reason and faith wasn't part of the conversation in any way, shape, or form, we were missing so much of the created order. And he tried to explain to the church the importance of looking at the intersection of those two things. He said, when it came to faith, we had to understand that one without the other was missing the point. He wrote specifically, reason cannot eliminate the mystery of love, which the cross represents, while the cross can give to reason the ultimate answer which it seeks. He wanted to demonstrate that if we're just focused on reason and we're not focusing on faith, then we will never understand the cross. We will never understand God's love for us. And then in the second part of it, he moves to reason. And he suggests that we will have a real problem. Christianity will be in danger of extinction if we don't start using our minds, if we don't start looking at the intersection of science. He says this quote, he says, it is an illusion to think that faith tied to weak reasoning might be more penetrating. On the contrary, faith then runs the grave risk of withering into myth or superstition. He's trying to suggest that if you come to the door and you just say, nope, it's my faith alone. I don't care what science says. You're in danger of superstition. You're in danger of whatever somebody told you. You're in danger of not experiencing the fullness of God. Now, this was really revolutionary at the time because a lot of people who were part of Christianity thought that faith and science were absolutely at odds with one another. You either believed in faith or you believed in science. Now, I want to define two words for you this morning, and I've done this before here at Crossroads. These words are science and scientism. I have a friend named Jennifer Secchi Shields, and she runs an organization about the intersection of faith and science. And she said, Tim, if you ever want to understand the difference here, you have to know the difference in these two words. This is how science is defined: a human endeavor that employs a certain method to try and understand the natural world. It's something we do to try to understand that which God has created. Scientism says this: a philosophy that says science is the only reliable method to know truth, and it's the only truth that matters. Now, Jennifer said to me, she said, Tim, I fully embrace science, and I fully reject scientism. To embrace science is to embrace that we have the capacity to learn more about the created order, to take a deeper dive. To embrace scientism is to say there is no God, that it is only science and it wasn't created by a creator. And she said, it's really important that people understand the difference in those two things. The church, for the longest time, has tried to suggest to people that those faith and science, faith and reason, are at odds with one another. There's a suggestion in many cultures that says if you come to church, you must leave all your knowledge at the door. You must leave your brain at the door. And then there are places that suggest that if you go into a lab, you must leave all of your faith outside of the lab. Just last week, somebody, you know, we have brilliant people in this church, really brilliant people in this church. And somebody who works for NIH told me that there are so many groups within NIH that look at this intersection of faith and science, that do that work, because there is this belief in this higher created order that brings all of this together. So it's important to know the difference in these two things and to understand that God is not afraid of biology. God is not afraid of a microscope. God is not afraid of hypotheses. We do not need to defend God, friends. God can handle that God's self. So when we reject these things and we say it must make God mad, please understand, I do not believe that's true. Now, I want to look at Colossians 1 today. It's important that you understand this text. This is Paul writing to a new church. This is in the beginning of the letter that he writes, and he is describing an image of the invisible God, which holds all things together. So I want you to hear how he describes all three persons, specifically the Son in this, and their relationship to creation. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the one who is first over all creation, because all things were created by him, both in the heavens and on the earth, the things that are visible and the things that are invisible, whether they are thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He existed before all things, and all things are held together in him. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the one who is firstborn from among the dead, so that he might occupy the first place in everything. Because all the fullness of God was pleased to live in him, and he reconciled all things to himself through him. Whether things on earth or in the heavens, he brought peace through the blood of the cross. Now, Paul is very clear in this text. He wants the early church to know that all things were created by God, that Jesus Christ is the Lord over all creation. But never once in that text does he say, Christ is Lord, God is good, so shut your mind off. Never once in that text does he say, stop trying to learn more about it. In fact, he pushes us on with a calling to the church. We are the church that he's referring to in this. He says, Christ is the head of the church, calls us to connect with the created order. Christ brought peace into the world, and we are to continue on with that peace. We're continued to carry it on into the world. All of that is good. And it means that God is not threatened as we try to learn more. None of that negates the power of God to create. None of that pushes us to question. I feel like we're at a place in our society where often what hits the news is the church telling you how to think, or maybe not to think. That's what often hits the news. And the truth is, that is not the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not the message that comes from the Bible. As we try to understand creation, as we try to understand these deep theological concepts, I think it delights God's heart that we're going deeper and deeper and deeper. And here's the deal. This is why this is important. The more the church pushes back on science, the more the church pushes back on intelligence, the more the church pushes back on using your mind, the more future generations are going to say no. They're going to say, I'm out. Y'all, my kids take such more complex science than I ever took in high school. I mean, they come home and they tell me these things they're learning, and I am blown away by what they're learning. And if I look at them and say, yeah, but none of that's real, they will shut me down right away. They will say to me, hey, Dad, don't ever say that publicly. You sound like an idiot, right? I mean, truthfully, that's what they will say to me. We have generation after generation of kids that are learning these beautiful things, uncovering the mysteries that God has created. And to shut it down and to say it's off limits, we absolutely have the danger of extinction of the church. We have to pay attention to this. It is so important to pay attention to this. And as I said last week, and as we saw in the video, it's not that faith and science are at odds with one another. They have different questions they're trying to answer. I found this thing by this professor of chemistry at MIT. His name's Troy Van Voorhis, and he argues that faith and science have a place in helping us understand how the universe works. Listen to what he said. I think this is so important. And if you go home today and take nothing else, take this guy's quote. He says, of course, science helps us understand how the universe works. What's not as clear is what role faith plays in it. Some would even argue this is a question that faith ought to keep away from. At best, faith provides simplistic and incorrect models that are going to be embarrassingly disproved by later scientific testing. But this argument assumes there can only be one explanation and ignores the existence of multiple layers of meaning. Let me give you an example, he says. You could ask me, Troy, why is your shirt purple? I could answer this in a scientific way. My shirt is purple because there's a high concentration of 6,6 dibromoindigo in the fibers that were used to weave it. I could even test that hypothesis by attempting to remove the dye from the shirt to demonstrate the molecular reason why my shirt is purple. However, I could offer another explanation. My shirt is purple because my wife thinks I look quite nice in purple. And I will tell you, as a guy who's been married for almost 21 years, there's a lot in that second part of that statement. It really does matter. Both of those are important explanations. Both of them matter. They come at the question in a different way. And I thought that was fascinating. See, I don't think we have to give up our minds so that we can have faith. And I don't think we have to give up our faith so that we can dive more deeply into our minds. They answer different questions. Again, science answers the question of the how, while faith answers the question of the why. The how and the why. Pay attention to those two different things. Why is there something rather than nothing? Why do we have to love one another? Why would God create humanity? These might be questions that you ask, and that when we read the narrative of Scripture, that's what we get out of it. The love that God has for creation and humanity. So I think the secret sauce is when we're able to do intersections of the two. Science without faith has the capacity to lack this moral compass, and faith without reason can drift into superstition. We have to be really, really careful of that and pay attention to that. We need both to get the full picture of what's going on. So if we hold on to the fact that Christ is Lord over all of creation, that Christ was involved in the beauty of creation, it means that it's really important for us to share that with the world, but in a way that the world understands, to connect with the world. What are we afraid of, y'all? Are we afraid that science might be right as it uncovers the beauty of creation? Is that what we're afraid of? We should not be as the church. We should not in any way. In fact, I have found that with what little bit of science knowledge I have, when I share that with someone who is not part of the church, they are so excited. They are so grateful that I'm willing to do that. And I've said it before. I had this professor in seminary who said one of the most profound things to me I'd ever heard. He said, "My experience with God is that God is like a well. The more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. The deeper you go, the deeper God gets." And he says, "I don't say that in a negative way. I say that in a positive way, because there's nothing about God that is boring. I never, ever finish the story. The deeper I learn, the more I learn, the more I grow." And I wonder if God isn't calling the church in this season right now to do that work alongside the world. To walk with the world, to listen to the questions, to understand more, to grow in all of that. Maybe that's what God is calling us to do, to go deeper. So I want to just give us a couple of things this morning, ways that we can do this. Here's the first one. And friends, we really got to pay attention to this. Be curious, not defensive. I have found that defensiveness works with almost no one. If somebody says, "Hey, I heard this new scientific thing," you're like, "Yeah, but that didn't happen in 6 days at creation." What? Like, seriously? No one in my life has ever come to know Jesus because I was defensive. Again, God doesn't need our defense. But if we're curious, if we ask people questions, again, if we read studies, if we read outcomes, if we learn more things, my kids come home and they'll say, "Hey, I learned this in chem." And I'm like, "Tell me more. I want to know, because I am a much better human with more knowledge. The more I know and the more I can share." Be deeply curious about the world around you. What if you went out in the fall and you saw all those trees that their leaves died and they fell off and you said, "I wonder why that happens"? What if you took the time to learn that? What if you took the time to learn why they bud in spring? What if you took the time to learn why some sort of new medical thing is changing people's lives? That will be transformative in dialogue and in conversations that you have. So be curious, not defensive. And here's the second thing, and maybe even more important, be willing to integrate. Be willing to integrate things that you learn in with your faith. My goodness, when I learn something really, really cool, I love to sit down and have a talk with God and go, "God, you are so cool. Like, this is so cool how this works. This is so amazing how it works. God, you are so cool." Integrate your faith. Don't leave your faith at the door, and don't leave science at the door. Don't leave your, please, by all means, don't leave your mind at the door. Utilize the gift that you have and be willing to integrate those two things. I think the more we learn, the more God comes to life for us, the more we experience the movement of God. And I want to invite you this week to do what I said last week. Go out into the world. It's going to be cooler this week. Go out and experience the beauty of nature. Look into the face of somebody you know. It's odd to do that with somebody you don't know, but look into the face of somebody you know and really see the beauty of God's creation in them. I want to encourage you, even if you're a person who says, "Hey, I don't really understand science, I don't understand Christianity," great. Start learning. Start walking. Start coming to understand more about the beauty of God's creation. I want to leave you with these words today that come from Nobel Prize-winning physicist William Phillips, and I want you to see how he describes this. He says, "I see an orderly, beautiful universe in which nearly all physical phenomena can be understood from a few simple mathematical equations. I see a universe that, had it been constructed slightly differently, would never have given birth to stars and planets, let alone bacteria and people. And there is no good scientific reason for why the universe should not have been different. Many good scientists have concluded from these observations that an intelligent God must have chosen to create the universe with such beautiful, simple, and life-giving properties. Many other equally good scientists are nevertheless atheists. Both conclusions are positions of faith. Who will you be? Who will you be? Will you be someone that does the work of looking at the intersections, or will you be someone that writes one or the other off and missing pieces of the puzzle? I pray for the work, and I pray that you experience the movement of God through it. Amen.